Support for this program by the Alaska Native Heritage Center. Experience more than 10,000 years of history and culture through art, dance, film, and more. Exploring your home state is the COVID-safe way to enjoy the summer.
Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. There have been many ups and downs for tribal communities during the pandemic, including for artists and the Indian art world. Now, some Native art shows, music festivals, and film events are opening up to the public as we adjust to life during the COVID-19 pandemic. Many people are ready to celebrate. We're in Santa Fe, where hundreds of Indigenous artists are taking part in a number of different events. We'll hear from them while celebrating Indigenous arts and culture, right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Trip Krause, in for Antonia Gonzalez. The tribal gaming sector suffered its first revenue decline in a decade in 2020. According to a recent report, voluntary closures amid the early days of the pandemic contributed to a severe hit to the gaming revenues last year. The National Indian Gaming Commission reports that gross gaming revenue decreased by nearly 20%. Commission Chairman Sequoia Simmermeyer said that the fiscal year 2020 decline reflected other portions of the general economy.
The gross gaming revenue reflects a significant decrease in revenue. The industry has not seen this significant a decrease in nearly 20 years. And the fiscal year 2020 significant decrease has ended the steady year-over-year growth rate the Indian gaming industry experienced over the last 10 years.
Of the eight regions that the Gaming Commission tracks, the Rapid City, South Dakota region experienced the largest decrease of about 36%.
However, the National Indian Gaming Commission has seen the benefit of the investments made during the pandemic in public health, workforce development, and economic enterprise. These investments often resulted from action taken by the Indian gaming industry, tribal regulatory bodies, and tribal governments during the last year. These invaluable investments can provide hope for the industry's strong return, provide important stability for a well-regulated industry, and are important to the tribal communities that use Indian gaming to strengthen tribes' governments, regulatory capacity, and economies.
Oregon advocates for the LGBTQ and Two-Spirit individuals are cheering support from the National Congress of American Indians. KLCC's Brian Bull reports.
In July, the NCAI passed a resolution supporting the Trans and Gender Affirming Care Strategic Vision and Action Plan. It was drafted by the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. Morgan Thomas of the NPAIHB says at a time when many state legislatures are restricting transgender rights, it's great to see support for Indigenous gender-diverse people.
Prior to colonization, within many Indigenous communities, gender-diverse people were held with great respect and had esteemed roles within their communities. And we see Two-Spirit and gender-diverse Indigenous activists and advocates doing a lot of work to reclaim those roles within their contemporary communities.
Advocates say work has just begun on supporting LGBTQ and Two-Spirit rights. Some still experience ridicule, shunning, or violence in and outside their communities. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
On Tuesday, Colorado's governor rescinded two executive orders made in 1864, including one that called for the massacre of Native Americans. Governor Jared Polis called the proclamations by Second Territorial Governor John Evans unlawful.
We can't change the past, but we can honor the memories of those who we lost by recognizing their sacrifice and vowing to do better. I look forward to signing the executive order to repeal these proclamations once and for all.
Polis said the proclamations shamefully targeted and endangered the lives of Native Americans in Colorado. Members of the Southern Ute Mountain, Cheyenne, and Arapaho tribes joined in the ceremony. Those that attended the gathering said the move was a step toward healing generational trauma and acknowledgement of that history. At least six more First Nations in British Columbia plan to launch investigations into nearby former residential schools. The CBC contacted 18 First Nations, and six of those leaders said they intend to look into the possibility of unmarked graves of students at former schools in their territories. Some of the First Nations told the news outlet that the work is already underway. The added scrutiny comes after research conducted by First Nations revealed hundreds of undocumented remains at former residential school sites. First in BC, than in other locations across Canada. Those organizing the investigation say they're sometimes hampered by difficult terrain and the fact that some of the land has since been developed. One First Nations leader says he believes investigators will find unmarked graves at every site. For National Native News, I'm Trip Krause.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Support by the Sanoski Chambers Law Firm, championing tribal sovereignty and defending Native American rights since 1976, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Many American Indian and Alaska Native communities have relied on their traditional teachings and cultures to get them through tough times due to COVID-19. And as tribal communities continue to adjust to life in the pandemic, we're taking some time to reflect, celebrate, and talk about the resiliency of Indigenous people with the help of some Native artists who never stopped creating. This week, hundreds of Native artists have traveled to the Santa Fe, New Mexico area to promote their work, take part in events, and celebrate Native culture. Markets, events, and festivals across town are all featuring arts, crafts, food, fashion, music, film, and much more. We're here broadcasting today from Poe Pathways. The event is taking place at Buffalo Thunder at the Pueblo of Pewaukee. And we also want to hear from our listeners. Are you an artist? How were you impacted by COVID-19? How did you keep your creativity going? And how are you celebrating as we adjust to life in the pandemic? Our phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And just to kick off the program today, I want to introduce our guest, Carl Duncan, who's the executive director of the Poe Cultural Center, and he's joining us live. Hi, Carl.
Hi, how's it doing?
Good. Well, thank you so much for having us be here at Pewaukee Pueblo today, and tell us about Poe Pathways.
Well, Pathways came about as a market to support artists, and throughout the entire pandemic, we've been doing what we can to support artists by giving artist grants out, trying to create virtual classes to continue art classes online. So we've been brainstorming what can we do, and as Indian Market came around, we thought, you know, we really need to reach out and do what we can to pull together some sort of a festival, a market that really celebrates and brings people together. And the whole idea of making art, you know, we're told when you make art, you're supposed to put good intentions into making the art. And so we're hoping that all these artists, you know, with all their great intentions, will really help all of our communities and what we're all going through. And so we're trying to do it in a good way and in a safe way as much as we can.
And tell us a little bit about if people are in the area, maybe this is the first time they're hearing about this, the Poe Pathways Festival. Tell us what people can get excited to see in the next couple of days on Friday and through the weekend.
Well, it starts off Friday, 9 to 5, and we're gonna have a lot of different dancers on our outdoor stage. Pueblo dancers, other Native dance groups, musicians, up-and-coming musicians, so we're really excited to hear all the really good music again, the dancers. We're gonna have a Pueblo fashion show. We're also gonna be having a panel discussion on creating a future for Native arts, and also another panel discussion on the state of Pueblo pottery, which is moderated by Governor Brian Vio of Acoma. We also teamed up with Sundance, and we'll be showing some Indigenous shorts that they are presenting. We also are working with Red Nation Celebration Institute, and they're going to be doing some film workshops. Also outside, we're going to be having some workshops with some aerosol murals with Douglas Miles, Yuki and Resmo, Insurgents to all be doing some outdoor activities for youth and for visitors. And we also going to have a big line of food trucks as well, so you can get some food here as well.
And, you know, there's so many things, so many excitement. And what are some of the artists? There's how many artists are going to be here, and what kind of art can people look forward to seeing here?
We have a little over 300 artists, and they all range from traditional Pueblo arts to paintings, contemporary paintings, to sculptures, to beading, to new media. People are doing things like they're doing their own apparel and different designs, graphic design. So we're really excited to see a whole range of art. And I think, you know, if you're looking for something to purchase or buy, you know, this is the great, great place to get it.
And also, you know, you can't come to Santa Fe, you can't come to New Mexico, you can't go to any Pueblo in New Mexico or any tribal nation across the country without talking about food. And definitely anytime I've been welcome into a Pueblo community, there's always great food. What are some of the food places outside at the food trucks that people can enjoy?
You have to come by and check out Good As Feast. And they're from a local group here. I believe they're from Okeowinge, and they have some great bison burgers you have to check out. They'll also be having fry bit as well. But they have their own twist with their menu, and I really recommend everybody coming by to check that out. We have other, you know, variety of additional fry bit stands, but also pizza, gelato, and all that.
Well, it's almost lunchtime, so we're getting hungry thinking about food. But can you talk a little bit about COVID-19 precautions? Because people listening to this program, we're all masked up. We're taking precautions, you know, washing hands, have hand sanitizer available. And if you come to Buffalo Thunder, what do people need to be prepared for?
Well, the Pueblo Pauke actually never stopped with their indoor mask mandate. And so we're just continuing that through for all indoors. And for this particular event, just because there's a lot of people, we're also adding that to the outdoor event within that kind of the parking lot where all the outdoor artists are as well. So it's complete masked event. We have a number of hand sanitizers that we're giving out to every single artist and to anybody who'd like some. Stations all around to clean your hands. All the shared surfaces are sanitized. We're actually holding a free public Pfizer vaccinations tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 3. And if you decide to get your vaccination, you'll be entered into a raffle to get a Ricardo Cate t-shirt or some Buffalo Thunder rooms here too. So we encourage everybody to come on by. If you haven't got your vaccinations, please consider it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And you know, can you share a little bit about this area, about the Pueblo Pauke? And, you know, a lot of people, when they come and tour New Mexico, the attraction is definitely Native people, the tribes of this land. Share a little bit about the area and also the cultural center, which you run.
Yeah, the Po Cultural Center, Po means path. Po means pathway in the Tehuacan Pueblo language, and the Pueblo Pauke founded and runs and operates the Po Cultural Center. And so we're a tribal department, and so we're really thankful for the Pueblo here to support this event and to support all the things we do at the Po. At the Po, we have been teaching Native arts for over 30 years, and we have a lot of our students who have become really established artists or turned around and began teaching as well. So we really appreciate all of the students and the artists that come through our doors. Just yesterday I saw Clarence Cruz, and he was firing some micaceous pottery. And today I see him setting up those pots that he just fired. And so we really appreciate everything that we're able to do there, not only setting up markets, but actually making and teaching the arts. We have a museum collection, and we have a public museum there as well here at the Pueblo. And the Pueblo itself is, owns and operates Buffalo Thunder Resort. And they really have been helping us put this whole event on. And so we couldn't have done it without them.
And you mentioned pottery, and that's such a big part of this area as well. And it's really unique, and we're seeing a lot of you know, you come to Buffalo Thunder and there's just some amazing pieces here. I saw some with, you know, even with the railroad design on it, and then more, you know, traditional. So share a little bit about pottery and how that's so important to Pueblo people.
Yeah, before I was the executive director at the PO, I was the curator here at Buffalo Thunder. And so we've been collecting different works from mainly the local Pueblos here in this region, and then kind of expanding out into the country. So we have a large collection of pottery on display here. And it's a variety of different forms and time frames, and the majority of them are from contemporary artists. And, you know, pottery, you know, we're told is a have images and is symbolic of how to be good in life, and there's stories about reminders and colors and images that all remind us of how to respect a certain animal or how to respect a certain aspect of life. And so that's kind of what art is. It's all about creating reminders for each other, and there's stories in them, and those stories teach us the cultural values that get us through things.
And definitely, is there anything else you'd like to share? You got a busy day and a busy weekend ahead. And before we get to our first break, any good words for the artists that are coming and the visitors that are going to be enjoying this weekend of celebrating arts and culture, especially as a lot of our tribal communities across the country have been so heavily impacted by COVID-19?
Yeah, just do what you can. You know, we encourage people to spread out, and we're happy to have our event, which is kind of north of Santa Fe. And so if anyone like an option that's not as packed as downtown Santa Fe, they can come to Buffalo Thunder, and we hope everybody masks up wherever they're at. And we kind of encourage that. Again, if you need a vaccine, come check us out. We can we fix you up there. And we're all here to support each other. And we thank all the markets for supporting the artists. And that's why we're all here.
Well, thank you so much, Carl Duncan, the Executive Director of Poe Cultural Center, for your time today.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Native America Calling, and we are celebrating Native arts and culture. There's a lot going on this week here in the Santa Fe, New Mexico area, but we also want to hear from our listeners. Our phone line's open. Get in the conversation early. Don't wait till the end of the hour. Maybe you have a question or a comment, or maybe you'd like to learn more about some of the events that are going on here. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can also follow us on social media. Find us on Facebook at Native America Calling. We have a lot more to talk about. We have some more guests. We have some guests in person and also on the phone traveling and even in downtown Santa Fe. So you don't want to miss this conversation today. We have to take a quick short break, but we'll be right back.
Native artists and the Indian art world were hit hard when communities locked down. Some Native nations remain closed while others are opening back up, providing in-person opportunities for the Indian art world and Native artists. We'll hear from some artists about how they fared during lockdown and their hopes for the future on the next Native America Calling.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. We're joined with some Native artists today to celebrate Indigenous culture and events as they're going on here in the Santa Fe, New Mexico area, but we also want to hear from you. Join our program today. The phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I'd like to introduce some more guests that are joining us today here at Buffalo Thunder. With us is Eugene Tapahi. Hello, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
And Eugene, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Eugene Sapahi. I'm Diné Navajo from Window Rock, Arizona. I have been a journalist for over 30 years. I've switched over to doing landscape photography as art. And for the past 7 years, that's what I've been doing. But also, I've been a huge advocate for Native issues and journalism still. And so within my art, I still try to combine Native issues within the photography that I take and stuff. So it's been a wonderful opportunity to be able to give back and also to be able to express myself through other creative fields.
And you're here in part, you're doing some stuff here at Buffalo Thunder on a panel, and you're also in Santa Fe for the Santa Fe Indian Market, is that right?
That's right. I am actually an artist at the Santa Fe Indian Market. My booth is Marcy. We're on Marcy Street, MAR 802. And I've been doing the Indian Market, Santa Fe Indian Market, for the past 7 years. And here at Buffalo Thunder, we will my project, the Art Heals the Jingle Dress Project, will be on a panel with the Red Nation Films here in Buffalo Thunder, and talking about following your dreams and also about creative art.
Awesome, and we look forward to hearing more about that. I want to invite our listeners to join in again, 1-800-996-2848. And also joining us on the phone on the way here to Buffalo Thunder is Livandria Noki. And Livandria, welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Liv, or short. And I am also Diné from Ganado, Arizona. My clans are Tachi Inishle, Ma'iteshke Zni Bashishin, Kilichitin Deshiche, Ado Trabahan Deshinela. I practice applied behavior analysis during the day, and then, you know, we do a lot of different types of activities, physical activities, and then art. I'm a mother of three, so when I say we, that's specifically what I referenced to.
Awesome. And we heard from Carl Duncan with the Poe Pathways earlier, telling us a little bit about the mural that's going to be done here over the weekend. And you're part of that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's going to be a live mural happening tomorrow between 9 and 5, and we're excited to be part of that. We don't have a plan for the mural yet, so we typically, the person I paint with, we're very sort of just go by the fly, and we'll probably talk about it early in the morning over breakfast, and that's typically how we operate. We're very into spontaneous creations, and we're excited. I think we're both excited to see what we create together.
And how important is it to come out and, you know, do an in-person event, especially for the Indian art world was, and artists were among those hit hard by COVID-19. You know, not only did a lot of our communities face loss of loved ones, but also just, you know, that economic hurt as well.
Right. First and foremost, I would always stress safety, following precautions. You know, Carl talked about wearing masks and being vaccinated. I think that's extremely important. So that's the primary focus. And then beyond that is just, you know, having fun, getting back to the things that we loved. It was really hard to be quarantined for a period of time, you know, especially back in March when quarantine was very strict and we weren't allowed to leave our homes. I think that was a time when people started, at least for us, you know, getting back into the things that we had sort of put by the wayside, the things that we love. For my family and I, we do love painting. We do, you know, we do all kinds of things. We like to refer to ourselves as protein artists, meaning we sort of dabble in a little bit of everything. We're musicians. We do all kinds of things, but, you know, having an outlet is extremely therapeutic, being able to paint. But then not only that, I feel like art is very cyclical in nature. it can be very reciprocative. There's an extreme reciprocative energy in that. You see someone do it, and it's inspiring. And so it motivates you to want to do the things that you love, whatever that is. For us, it very much is art focused. So we're doing these things in our home, but to be able to get out and reach and share is motivating. It's inspiring. We get to talk to people when they're live. They ask questions, and we love telling the story of why we do what we do as well.
And listening to Lavandria talk, Eugene, just echoing or mirroring what she said, anything to add about just the passion of an artist?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that during this pandemic, it was kind of hard for, I'm sure, for a lot of artists to go to markets and to show their work. But I know that there's a lot of artists out there that actually took the time to be able to be in quarantine. I think for me, it was like I kind of searched myself and tried to find different avenues of where and what I can do as a creative person. And I think that's what a lot of artists have done. I've seen a lot of art that has come out since the pandemic, and it's amazing how much resilience we all had and how we were able to adapt to it and to be able to make our crafts a little bit better because we kind of soul searched and we kind of figured out what is important to us, and that was family and being able to protect our families and to be healthy and to be able to return back to a lot of our traditional ways. And I think that's the thing that I feel like has evolved in the sense in creativity, because just seeing how many people turned in competition pieces at the Indian market yesterday morning and just seeing what they were presenting was just amazing to me, how the pandemic has influenced everyone to be better people and then also makes them better in their creativity.
And that's especially true for Indian country and just that aspect and the key value of community and helping others. We want to go to the phone lines. Give us a call. Join the conversation. We're here at Buffalo Thunder, Pauake Pueblo, just minutes from Santa Fe Plaza. And the artists from across the country are coming into the Santa Fe area this weekend for a bunch of different events. And we want to hear from you. What do you think? Are there some events going on in your community? Or is your community, going back on lockdown? And, how is that having an impact on your art? Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go to Nancy, listening to us on WGZS in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hello?
Go ahead. Yep, you're on. Go ahead. You're on air.
I wanted to give a shout out to Poso Wenge. That's the translation of Pauake, and it means Butterfly Springs. I taught at the Pauake Valley High School for several years, and I love the area. I had it was Native students, students from Los Alamos, Hispanics, immigrants, people. It was the most eye-opening and wonderful experience I've had teaching. And I'm so glad to hear that the cultural center is open, because they had been talked. I left about 10 years ago. I had to return for health reasons to Minnesota, but I'm so glad that the cultural center is having these events, and I wish I could be at it right now. But I'm just so excited and happy to learn that these things that have been progressive ideas and embracing the community and the people have come to fruition. And I will never forget my years spent there and the incredible students I was privileged to learn from as well as teach.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy, for giving us a call today from Duluth, Minnesota. And Liv, listening to our caller, a lot of times, artists spend a lot of time educating and sharing Native culture with the public, and people are interested in their art. Your thoughts?
I it's funny you should ask that. I had several Indian students. I got close to them because they trusted me to be the Indian director there, student director. They trusted me to go on outings with them, and that's where I learned so much
about their culture. And one of my students, who always, he wore this huge mohawk to school. Everybody loved him and noticed him. And one day I was at the Buffalo Thunder casino for a meeting. It was the first time I'd gone there because I don't usually go to casinos, but we were having lunch and a meeting. And I saw a statue in the hallway and I said, that looks just like my student. And it was him. It was a bronze, it's a bronze student of him, statue of him dancing. And I had no, he never told anybody, at least not me. And that's the kind of carryover there is from humans to art and culture. And it's just wonderful when those kinds of things happen. So I really, and I taught science, but science requires to me a lot of artwork because a lot of times we had to design things, draw them to understand them. And I saw how talented a lot of my students were at that. And I knew it would come to fruition someday.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in. And Lavandria, just your thoughts to what our caller was saying and just a lot of education that artists go through to help the public who are interested in their art.
Yeah. So I think within our own home, I do a lot of education with my kids and just encouraging them, showing them different techniques. You know, we've used art in our home very much as an outlet, as I said before, because I am an autism mother. And, you know, the struggle was really challenging for us last year. I have a child who functions very, very strictly on routine processes. And so when he wasn't able to go to school anymore, that sort of change to our routine impacted our family in a very challenging way. And so, you know, teaching my children how to have their own outlets, using art as an outlet, you know, being able to do something with their time and not feel like they have nothing to do, is try to encourage them and say there's always something to do. And, you know, there's a lot of learning in art. There's a lot of patience that has to, you know, that it's definitely a requirement, but then the creativity side of it. And then outwardly, just with the rest of the community, I talked a little bit earlier about having those conversations with people as they watch you do live murals. And it's really fun to engage in those conversations because you get to share your story, they get to share their story, you find connections, and, you know, you really try to encourage them to do what they love. And, you know, you start small, and then to me, the education is just lending to a starting point. And once you start your starting point, you can go anywhere from there. So I think a lot of it is just about inspiration. You don't have to be, you know, perfect. You don't have to be a master. You just need a really good starting point.
Thanks for that. And Eugene, you do a lot of education as well when people come and see your art. And when you're here at these different festivals, including here in Santa Fe, people are interested in Native art.
Yeah, that's a great thing about what I try to do within my work. I try to bring awareness to not just to Native issues, but also the land. I do a lot of landscape photography, and in everything I do, I always make a reclamation to all the Native people's land that I go to, and I make sure I let people know what land I took that photo on. My newest project, the Art Heals the Jingle Dress project that I'm working on, is came through the pandemic, and it's a healing project that we're doing. And what I'm doing is I'm taking my daughters, and we're going out into the landscape, and we're going to Native lands. National and state parks is what we're focusing on, because those were the first lands that were taken from Native people when colonization happened. And so we've taken photos, and the girls have done the jingle dress dance at national parks like Yellowstone, the Tetons, the Redwood Forest, and even all the way into New York. We went to Central Park, and we actually did the jingle dress dance there on New Year's Eve. And so we've taken our culture and the arts of photography And we've been able to go around, and we've been able to go along our way and educate people about the native land and also the native cultures that we have, and also spreading the unity and healing of the jingle dress dance. And it just started from a dream I had during the pandemic. And I think for us, this project that we're doing has really become global, and it's been really wonderful to see and hear how it's been accepted by the people out there, not just natives, but also non-natives. And it's opened up a channel of being able to educate to non-native people about native art and native culture and the way of natural healing, and also the same thing what I said about reclaiming the land. So it's been wonderful to see my girls, Aaron and Dion Tapahi, and also their friends, Sunny and Joanne Begay, to see how it's given them a platform as to be able to speak about native issues. And they're the next and upcoming, you know, people in our fields. And so it's a great opportunity to see them, how they evolved from where we started the project to now, and seeing how it's empowered them as women to be able to speak. And we do speak about the MMIW, the Missing Murdered Indigenous Women too. And so I have a piece that I donated to the Santa Fe Indian Market that commemorates the MMIW. And so it's been a wonderful opportunity to educate and then also to spread healing and awareness.
And thank you for that, Eugene. And today we're talking with some artists. We're in the Santa Fe area. We're at Pauake Pueblo's Buffalo Thunder today, and there's artists gathering from all across the nation. Tribes from across the country are Native artists are gathering, and we're celebrating Native art and culture, and especially during the tough times during the pandemic. But we also want to hear from our listeners. We have some more great guests who are going to join us. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We want to hear from you. Are you an artist out there? We want to get in on this conversation. There's still time to join our discussion. We have to take another quick short break, but we'll be right back.
Smoking gave me COPD, which makes it harder and harder for me to breathe. I have a tip for you. If your doctor gives you 5 years to live, spend it talking with your grandchildren. Explain to them that your grandpa's not going to be around anymore to share his wisdom and his love. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. I'm running out of time.
COPD makes it harder and harder to breathe and can cause death. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Thank you for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. There's still time to join our conversation as we speak with Native artists today about their work, their life during the pandemic, and even their hopes for the future. Join our conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. I'd like to welcome in another guest. Joining us on the phone right now is Ricardo Cate. Hello, welcome to Native America Calling.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your artwork.
Okay, I'm Ricardo Cate. I'm from Kiwa Pueblo, or Santo Domingo Pueblo, and I'm a cartoonist. I draw the cartoon Without Reservations as a daily in the Santa Fe New Mexican. And cartoons are due today, too, so I'm multitasking while I'm talking to you guys. Coming up with some cartoons, but sometimes I take my favorite cartoons and I paint them on canvas and acrylic, and that's the artwork that I sell, you know, at art shows and whatnot.
And you were also recently recognized for your work by the governor of New Mexico. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, it's the governor's award. Excellence in art. I think there are six other recipients of that, and it was an honor. You know, it was really cool. I got this email informing me of that, and so it's nice to be recognized for one's work. And you know, I congratulate the other nominees, and the only one that really, because he's a good friend of mine, was Kathleen Wall from Hamas. She was also recognized, and so. And so, yeah, it was a great honor. And I guess the ceremony takes place on October 22nd. I think it's virtual.
And share a little bit about, for since we're on the radio and maybe there's some listeners across the country, describe maybe some of your pieces so we can get a little bit of understanding about your work.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been a cartoonist most of my life and dueling cartoons. And so back in 2004, I was asked to come up with some characters to draw for a tribal newspaper up in Ignacio, Colorado, the Southern Ute Drum. And I came up with these native characters, and I drew for them for about a year, and then I came home back to Santa Fe, the area. And I wound up having my cartoons with those characters in what is called Without Reservations. It's a single panel cartoon. And so it's as opposed to like a comic strip where you have like four different panels that tell the story. Well, I just have the one panel that I have to say everything in that one panel. And so at first, it was difficult for me to explain everything in just one picture. But as the years went by, I got better at it. And one of my first ones was a father and son native looking at this mountains and really nice scenery. And the father has his arms spread out, and he's like, he tells his son, "Someday, son, none of this will be yours." And so it's kind of it's not so much funny, but I draw about, you know, issues, whether it's mascots or treaties or whatever. And just recently I had the general and the chief, which are my main characters, and the general looks somewhat like George Armstrong Custer, but I don't call him Custer. I just call him the general. And then there's the chief, who wears a war bonnet and could be the chief of any Plains tribe. And so they have, you know, really cool conversations. And so the general's looking at this thing on the wall. And so he says, you're displaying the treaty that you just signed on your teepee wall? And the chief says, yeah, that's my Declaration of Independence. And so I use a lot of, like, play with words get some point across or whatever. And so I just draw a lot of stuff that's happening now with the current events. And then I like to just kind of poke fun at the dominant culture a lot. And so I like to turn the tables on them. These two natives, present day natives, and one has dug a hole. He's in the hole and he's holding up a fork, and he says, to the other one, "Just as I suspected, you've built your property on ancient Caucasian picnic grounds." And so that's kind of a little bit of, you know, what I do.
And people who are familiar with your work definitely understand when you're talking about the two main characters that you like to draw about and tell stories, and also the education. And tell us what you're doing in Santa Fe and how people can find you.
Oh yeah, right now this whole week I've been up at the La Fonda on the second floor, and there's this thing called the Sovereign event, and it's given by Fahrenheit. That's the name of the people who are sponsoring it. It's called Sovereign, and there's artists up here that like Carlos T, Tony Abeda, Three Feathers, Star Quilts, Stephen Paul Judd. And a portion of the proceeds are going to the Coalition to Stop Violence Against Native Women. And we've donated some of our pieces, and there's like a silent auction going on. And that same group has a fundraising thing tomorrow night at the Poe Center by Pewaukee from 6 to 9. And again, the money proceeds go to support MMIW. And so... it's cool to be part of this show. And then, but I'm going to pack up Friday night. And so that Saturday and Sunday, I'll be at the Free Market, which is at the near the Scottish Rite Temple in Federal Park in downtown Santa Fe. So it's going to be a busy
Well, yeah, it sounds like it. Thanks so much. And also, yeah, here at the PO Pathways at Pauake, Buffalo Thunder, we were told that if you come and take part in the flu shots, they're giving, you get a chance of getting a Ricardo shirt. So you're over here too.
Oh, I remember they were asking me permission to print those shirts, and I was like, yeah, of course, you know, and so I might go up there and try to win one of my shirts.
Well, we look forward to seeing you if you do. Thank you so much for giving us a call and joining the program today, and now people know where to find you throughout the weekend. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you for all you do as well. And now all right. To all the listeners.
Yes, thank you. And now I want to bring in another guest. We have Dion. She's here with her father and Eugene, and we've been talking to him about Native art and also just about this project and how important it is to share history and also just some of these Indigenous issues. Welcome to Native America Calling, Dion.
Thank you.
Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Dion Tapahi. I am 23 years old. I have an older sister named Erin. She is currently working right now. And I recently graduated from Brigham Young University in April. I got a Bachelor's of Science in Environmental Science with a minor in American Indian Studies. And I've just been living life.
And how important is being part of this project for you? You know, your dad was sharing how you've been traveling around the country and, you know, raising awareness, but also it's part of the healing journey.
Yeah, this project has been a really important part to me because, so it started last year during the pandemic, and I think it really helped me as well as the other girls involved try to figure out what we really wanted to do in our life, because we did have, like everybody else, we had a lot of plans for last summer, and we had like different internships and different jobs that were lined up. However, with the pandemic happening, all those things got canceled, and so it was really hard for us to try to keep track of our education or keep going forward in our life. But when we started this project, then we found kind of more of a meaning to life than just doing work or just doing school, but being able to be an advocate for different issues that we are trying to bring awareness to, as well as being students or as well as working and coming up in this world.
And today we've been talking to artists and just talking about, you know, celebrating Indigenous arts and culture, and especially during difficult times. And there's a lot of stuff going on this week in the Santa Fe area, including film, fashion show, dance. And talk a little bit about the jingle dress and why that's important.
Yeah, so originally the jingle dress dance is from the Ojibwe tribe. And it originally started back in 1919 during the Spanish flu pandemic, in which that place it hit Native people, Native communities really hard as well. And an Ojibwe father had a dream that when his daughter was sick with the flu, if he was able to make these dresses and have girls be able to dance in them, then his daughter would be healed. And so that's what happened. He made those dresses with his wife, and then he had four girls from the community dance, and his daughter was healed by the end of the night. So this dance is a healing dance, and we felt that it was very appropriate to do the healing dance for our project because all four of us are jingle dress dancers, and we can definitely use a lot of healing during this time.
And Eugene, anything to add to what you're hearing from Dion?
Yeah, I think that the greatest thing that I can see on this project was what she just said. It really made this project important because I think a lot of people were going through the same thing that Dion talked about. We were all trying to refocus, trying to figure out where we wanted to go, not just through finances or through education or through even our careers. we kind of took a look within ourselves, and we started feeling a little more spiritual in the sense of where, who we are and what we're doing. And I think that's the greatest thing about this project, is that we're trying to do healing at the same time. And I think that's the one thing that we're really excited about this weekend is that the girls will be able to do the jingle dress dance at the Santa Fe Indian Market, the Swaya Gala, the big party and that they have on Saturday night. They're going to be able to do jingle dress dance for all the artists and their artists' family members who have passed away from COVID this past year. The girls are going to do an honor dance for all of them. And I think that's a really great statement to be able to realize that we're all returning back to our traditions and our culture. And all of us are starting to realize that there's more in life than just money and just trying to, you know, get ahead. It's about our own spirituality and where we want to be within ourselves.
And Dion, your thoughts about, you know, dancing and at this event at Swaya, and just what is that going to mean for you?
I definitely feel a big honor to do it, and I am so grateful that they were able to ask us to be a part of it, because we have very close friends who did pass away this past year, and we had family members and Native people, I feel like, are very, very visual people, whether it's for film or for artwork or movies, dancing, anything. So I feel like we are able to express ourselves in creative ways, and to be able to be a part of trying to have healing for these families and for the artists who did pass away, I will treasure the moment, because I know that we were impacted as well as so many other families, and I think it's important that we start having this healing process for all of us, and to continue their legacy, that what they would want.
Well, thank you for that, Dion. And Livandria, just as we get to the end of the hour here, I wanted to give you a couple minutes just to share, you know, you've been hearing a little bit of the conversation, and just some of your good thoughts and words. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, I think what I'm picking up on is that art is very generational. You know, it transcends it. The stories that we discuss in our home come from my grandmother, and we have a tendency to draw a lot of hummingbird pictures, and it gave us opportunities to really dig back into our emergent stories and, you know, learn the importance of the things that we're painting, the meaning and you know, the foundations of who we are and why they're important to us and why it's important for us to carry those forward. So, my children now have opportunities to share that with their children, and they'll remember these times, the stories, and, you know, the fun times that we had painting till, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning at our shared dining table. So, you know, the pandemic is challenging, but I think that there are also a lot of amazing opportunities that have come out of it. So for some people, you know, a move towards being more familial and sharing family time again and sharing those stories. And, you know, again, it's an opportunity again for us to travel back and bring forward our traditions and the things that we value.
Well, thank you so much for joining our program today, and we look forward to seeing the mural project, and that's going to be here this weekend at Buffalo Thunder at the Pueblo of Pauake. Thanks so much for joining our show today. And Eugene, your final thoughts as we wrap up the hour here on Native America Calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to say art heals, the Jingle Dress Project. Art does heal, and I feel like art brings us all on a certain level of our hearts. And when we're all on the same level, heart level, then we can have a really great conversation with people, non-Native, Native. And I feel like that's the part that we need to really think about.
Well, thank you so much. And Dion, also thank you for joining us today. That's going to wrap up our time here today. You've been listening to Native America Calling. We are at Poe Pathways event, which is going to kick off on Friday at Buffalo Thunder at Pueblo of Pauake. Thank you to all of our guests, the listeners, the crew at the studio, and everyone here. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Looking to get your high school diploma? Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute offers Native Americans ages 18 or older training and preparation courses for the high school equivalency diplomas in person and online beginning September 6th. This no-charge program includes testing fees and other resources will be available to help with supplies and living expenses. Space is limited. Application deadline is August 6th. More by calling 505-382-4287 or at sipi.edu who support this show.
Keshi, kopto na on tina was tuptuna na checklist ang wopan na ye. Yama ke tina was tuptuna na hapis, kwan se a chimo na hapis, yami se kwen aptuna na. East healthcare coverage a kito, yami se kwen aptuna na yele ke naptu. East insurekidsnow.gov kwen awan na nesat upton, East 877kidsnow ang pedan ake naptu. Yam to nagwa mos awa shu upto, esat upton, East healthcare.gov kwen awan na nesat upton, East 1-800-318-2596 ang pedan ake naptu. Elakwa.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.